Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hi, this is Billie Jean King.
This is Marion Bartoli.
I'm Mats Wilander.
This is Mary Carrillo.
This is Yannick Noah, and you're listening to the Tennis Podcast.
Well, folks, despite Eurostar's best efforts, we, the Tennis Podcast, myself, David, Matt, have made it to Paris. They tried to thwart us. They threw everything in our direction. They definitely did thwart me. But David would not be thwarted. We have made it to Paris. We come to you from our Airbnb where we're watching Match of the Day. And that's not me doing a sort of 1970s comedy French accent. That is the actual name of the show we are watching. And we're very happy to be here, despite the absolute trauma that the travel gods put us through today, David.
Yeah, it wasn't quite what we expected. We built in hours on end, and it still wasn't enough because a lightning strike, we were told. And I don't think I've ever seen Matt look more cynical about a public service announcement than the one that they said had caused us to have a 2.5 hour delay before we even
got... That wasn't even the first delay, David. Could we just row back, please? There was a delay before we even departed...
Traffic on
the
train track.
The cheek of them making an announcement to say we're delayed due to traffic.
And then lightning on a glorious day.
Yeah,
we came out the other side of the tunnel in Calais and you couldn't see a cloud anywhere.
And don't give me lightning last night, because several trains before us went through no problem at all.
It's all very fishy, quite frankly. And I do think that Eurostar should be reimbursing the snacks and alcohol that I had simply no choice but to purchase.
And boy, did you.
About 90 minutes into the delay. So, folks, we have made it to Paris. We didn't make it to the draw. So this French Open draw show is going to be a banger.
Yes. We're about to do a bit of swatting up.
We haven't talked about the argument with the taxi driver yet.
Oh, well, I thought if we chronologically detailed everything that went wrong with the journey, then there would simply be no draw chat. It is simply unacceptable to accept a fare and declare afterwards that your card machine is broken. It's 2022, which I said to him.
I think my favourite bit was when you said that in French. Yeah.
He didn't like that.
2022!
Yeah, and he just sort of pointed to his broken card reader. And
which he said he'd broken himself.
Yeah, like, I understand what your issue is, mate, but
not our problem.
Unacceptable.
I didn't expect to be peacekeeping between a French taxi driver and Catherine talking in French and me coming out with a bit of Brummy.
It was quite amazing all day. The contrast in facial expressions. Every time I looked over at David thinking, surely something's got to him by now. Nope. Smiling away.
I was delighted.
David saw nothing but content opportunities in my misery. Anyway.
And also,
I wasn't my best self today, folks, but Eurostar is entirely to blame.
Yeah, I mean, I do have certain puppy-like qualities of keeping jolly, but I do think it's because I'm coming to Paris for the first time for the French Open. I don't think anything is going to get me down.
Tempt fate, David.
All right, well, yeah, okay, some things would, but no, I've just had the best time going on a train with you two. and watching Catherine have snacks and other things. And then getting here and having a lovely dinner and missing the draw. And walking into the apartment and actually saying to Matt, so should we go to the draw? And we were already 10 minutes into it. So we decided.
Draws are overrated.
Against it.
That wasn't what you were saying on the train.
I know.
Matt, look of absolute despair on your face.
He
wistfully
draws.
Gazed out of the window and just went, oh, I really love draws.
I do love draws. And especially French Open, because it's still a proper draw,
which is
an increasingly rare thing in tennis. They do it properly here. And unfortunately, we missed it.
But through the magic of technology, we are able to tell you what happened in the draw. And, it's sort of explosive scenario one, isn't it, in the men's draw. There were in the men's draw, the one thing everyone was looking out for was Djokovic, Alcaraz, Nadal, the potential for them all to fall in the same half. Well, that's happened. And in the women's draw, everyone was looking at unseeded Grand Slam champions Bianca Andreescu and Naomi Osaka. And, okay, Andreescu's drawn a qualifier. Naomi Osaka has drawn former semi-finalist here, Amanda Anisimova, in a rematch, or what will be a rematch, of their brilliant encounter at the Australian Open earlier this year. So let's deal with the Alcaraz, Nadal, Djokovic of it all first. Are we pleased?
Yes.
I haven't even finished the sentence.
I am. I'm pleased they're all together, and I think lots of people won't be, because, you know, that can't be the final. It can't be Djokovic versus Nadal, or Nadal versus Alcaraz, or Alcaraz-Djokovic. And in an ideal world, you probably do want that match in the final. I get that. But more than anything, I want that match and those matches to happen. And I think it's more likely, especially with some concern over Nadal's foot, it's more likely that they're going to happen earlier in the draw. And I think we could get a couple of them, and they're all tantalizing. And I love it. I'm very here for them all being thrown together in that top half. I think it's fascinating.
Yeah, to be clear, the projected quarterfinal is Nadal against Djokovic. And then the winner of that would be projected to meet Carlos Alcaraz in the semi-finals and get the world's tiniest violin out for Alexander Zverev, who also finds himself in that half of the draw. He would be Alcaraz's quarter-final opposition.
Imagine having to beat Alcaraz, then the winner of Djokovic and Nadal, and you don't even win the tournament at that point.
I mean, I would, if I were him, imagine it, though, because it's not going to happen in real life, is it? I mean, that's just...
I'd be very surprised if he got through Alcaraz. I'd be surprised, to be quite honest.
And I'll tell you who else likes this draw: Stefanos Tsitsipas, because he has landed in the bottom half away from those three. Okay, he's got Lorenzo Musetti in the first round, which is a difficult first round for sure, but Musetti's been injured. I think Tsitsipas backs himself against anyone. I mean, anyone really, and I would back Tsitsipas against anyone but those three we've mentioned in the top half. So for Tsitsipas, this is a great draw, I think. He's got a really good shot of getting to the final again.
Should be reaching the final with that draw.
Yeah,
I think if he's fit, should be reaching the final.
I would think so, because the higher seed in his half of the draw is Daniil Medvedev. We know he's not at home on clay. He's also been injured. He's just lost to Richard Gasquet. I mean, not exactly vintage form, is it?
Remember, 2022, losing to Richard Gasquet. Not good.
None of these things should be happening in 2022.
Casper Ruud is in that half of the draw, so I suppose he's probably the most likely troublesome opponent that Tsitsipas might come up against. But I agree with you. You'd be really surprised if he didn't come through and reach the final.
Ruud is in the Tsitsipas quarter. So then that bottom quarter of the draw is where we find Medvedev, Rublev. And I think you'd have to say good draw for someone like Kecmanovic, who's in there. Mm. Someone like Jannik Sinner, who's in there. These are players who can get to a Roland Garros semi-final without having to play any of Tsitsipas, Alcaraz, Nadal, Djokovic. They've got to love that.
Sinner's been having a weird time recently, hasn't he?
Mm.
Bumpy.
Hmm.
But yes, massive opportunity. It's hard. It's very hard to see the projected Medvedev-Rublev quarterfinal happening for me. I can definitely see Tsitsipas Ruud.
Mm.
I'd be surprised if I don't end up picking that in my predictions. But, yeah, Medvedev Rublev seems unlikely this year, doesn't it?
It does.
So we think Tsitsipas on for the final. Would you like to hear some of the things he's been tweeting recently?
I'm not sure.
Good time for that.
Okay.
He says it's surprising to me that books don't have advertisements between chapters these days. He also says if schools taught actual important life skills like personal finance, relationship values, survival skills, cooking, mental health, sustainable living, or how to make and build things, we'd be living better. And that's just facts. So, life lessons, folks, from Stefanos Tsitsipas.
Cheers, Steph.
Anything else notable from the men's draw that we'd like to pick out? Where are people like Felix Auger-Aliassime?
He is a potential fourth round opponent for Rafael Nadal. He opens against a qualifier. And there's an interesting little talking point in that top half, in that we could have a match between Auger-Aliassime, coached by Tony Nadal, against Rafael Nadal, and we could also have a second round match between Novak Djokovic and Alex Molcan, coached by Marion Vaida now.
That would have to be hard for Novak Djokovic.
Yeah.
I mean, not hard enough for him to lose the match, I don't think. But
I don't know.
How weird for him.
I don't think I've seen Molcan play, but emotionally, yes, yeah. I agree.
There was a moment in Madrid, wasn't there, which I'm not sure we had the opportunity to discuss, where Nadal, I think it might have been his David Goffin match, and Felix Auger-Aliassime were playing at the same time. I think it might have been when Auger-Aliassime was beating, I'm going to say, Sinner.
It was, yes. And Tony Nadal had time to depart the Nadal-Goffin match, go and cheer on Felix and get back in time for Nadal's... Was that deciding set tiebreak win?
Yeah, missed out on the post-match, or postponed the post-match Auger-Aliassime team talk in order to watch Nadal.
Alex Molcan, by the way, is into the semi-final in Lyon this week.
Oh, right.
Without dropping a set. He's beaten Songa, Khachanov and Correa.
Well, that's a chance for us to have a look this next couple of days and see what that's.
And I wouldn't have thought Marion Vaida would waste his time on somebody that he didn't see genuine potential in. I know he said he specifically wanted to coach someone from Slovakia, didn't he?
Yeah, but I mean, you're right. He doesn't need to do this. He clearly wants to, and I agree with you. You must see something in him. That half of the draw generally I find interesting because we've talked about players that we expect to go deep and end up in the semi-finals, but Zverev could play Alejandro Davidovich Fokina in the third round. You could have Carlos Alcaraz against Seb Korda in the third round.
Beat him in Monte Carlo, didn't he?
Yeah. So
that's one of the year's weird results.
Yeah, and it was a weird match. You know, it was pretty error-strewn from Alcaraz's point of view. Korda played brilliantly that day. But yeah, there could be more bumps in the road, I suppose. I can't see it with Alcaraz. I think that once he gets out at Roland Garros, I think we'll see the very best of him, personally.
So do you think we're seeing Djokovic-Nadal and we're also seeing Alcaraz versus Djokovic/Nadal?
Well, it's just all on the foot, isn't it, for Nadal? If he's one interesting thing with that injury, people have reminded me that he seems to struggle with it, because I was saying, well, why is clay problematic? And it does seem that there may be more of a problem when he has a layoff for a while.
He's talked about that, hasn't he?
He talked about that in Australia, yeah, that the pandemic was the best thing that's ever happened for his knees and the worst thing that's ever happened for his foot. It was the lockdown period of being unable to play that caused it to worsen so significantly, because he's had it his whole career, of course, but it's suddenly become more acute. So I'm taking from that answer, David, that you are unprepared to make any Rafael Nadal-based predictions.
I tell you, having seen
the
him...
the foot is a get-out.
Just, I mean, look, I find it impossible to confidently say either way, because it is all on the foot. There is, I don't think there's any opponent that's going to get in the way of him in the quarterfinals. But I was enthused and encouraged by how jolly he looked in the practice session that I saw, just clips of.
And if anyone knows Jolly, David, if anyone's Jolly radar,
I've seen Jolly in the mirror today. I don't know. I just think maybe there's, having seen what I saw in Australia, I don't think anything can be ruled out with Nadal now.
Oh gosh, oh, no! Absolutely, no.
Totally on board with that take.
Yeah.
That,
I'm not ruling anything out.
But that changed
all.
My
I'm
perception.
For a very specific prediction.
I'm going to say that match will happen.
Mm. I think it will. I think some people will look at Nadal's round two as quite interesting. He starts against Jordan Thompson. It's then either Corentin Moutet, who we know to be fun, or Stan Wawrinka. And I'm just going to get ahead of this and say Wawrinka Nadal is always basically a non-event.
Yes.
They have played 22 times. All but one have been straight sets.
I barely remember any of
and
those 22
And the one
times.
That wasn't straight sets was the Australian Open final, which was compromised by Nadal's back. That's a rivalry. There've just been barely any good matches in that head-to-head. It's bizarre.
I can't make sense
of it. I can't remember
them playing five times.
I can remember
22.
Bigging up some Wawrinka Nadal matches in anticipation of them.
Yeah,
I can't ever remember us talking about one in retrospect.
That
in any
French
detail.
Open, you were massively on board with that French Open final, and I remember you being persuaded by the final record that Wawrinka went in with. But then it was
6-2, 6-3, 6-1.
It wasn't a great take.
It wasn't one of my best takes.
I understood the sense behind it because I remember sitting there listening to you and thinking, kind of know what you mean. But same time,
matchups are everything.
And Nadal's able to take his time away so easily with the hooked forehand cross court because the big wind ups don't really work very well against Nadal when Nadal's just able to swipe.
I think we're going to get Nadal Djokovic, and I think we're going to get Alcaraz, probably Djokovic, but I absolutely share your, after seeing what I saw in Australia, anything is possible.
Yeah.
P.S. he's a 13-time champion.
Yeah. I'd be surprised if it's not Djokovic Alcaraz ultimately in that semi. But it's, just on your first question, it is an interesting one because I think so many people do like to build towards a particular final and have the biggest two names. I loved it last year, having that Nadal Djokovic semi-final. I love all that. So,
and it didn't disappoint.
For me, I'd much rather have them all in there together.
And if Tsitsipas gets to the final, it's still a great narrative, isn't it? Mm. You know, back-to-back finals, can he get over the line this time?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Oh, by the way, can I just draw your attention to a first round I've just seen as well? Denis Shapovalov against Holger Rune.
Oh yeah,
that's quite an interesting one.
That's a very sort of it's been a day. Help me with an analogy here. I want a sort of
you're going to say next gen against
I definitely wasn't going to say next gen. It's a very sort of backwards baseball cappy kind of a vibe, that, isn't
flashy.
It? Flashy, yeah.
Confirmed to me today that Denis Shapovalov and Jamie Delgado are no longer working together, which I have to say I find surprising. It was Denis's decision, and I'm surprised by it. I think that Jamie Delgado, having worked with Andy Murray and seen what it takes, was exactly the sort of kind of message giver that Shapovalov needed. Somebody to lay out what's required. And I'm reading that Shapovalov, now coached by his fellow Canadian, who I think is also an active player, Peter Polanski. And I just find it surprising. Maybe it'll be a stroke of genius, but I rather suspect
that's
not.
That's very player manager Ruud Gullit, isn't it?
Except that Ruud Gullit was very good. And maybe Peter Bielanski will be an amazing coach. I have no idea. But I'd be more surprised than if Jamie Delgado was in charge.
Yeah, it surprised me as well. I was surprised not to see Jamie Delgado with him in Madrid, but assumed it was a temporary thing. I suppose it's possible that Shapovalov sort of took what he wanted from Delgado in terms of the pointers of how to be a professional at the very top level, which of course Delgado would know from his many years with Andy Murray, and that's what he wanted him for more than the sort of day-to-day tactical management or technical management. Who knows? But and maybe Peter Polanski is a great technician and tactician. Time will tell.
Mm. Two of the quick first rounders that I picked out. One was in proper throwback news, Gilles Simon against Pablo Carreño Busta. I mean, it's like they've decided to put that one out there for Simon's final Grand Slam. And say, I'll tell you what, live in the past, Gilles. And then there's also Joe Wilfried Tsonga, who's playing his final French Open final tournament, isn't it? And he's playing against Casper Ruud in the first round.
Mm. So, yeah, Gilles Simon, his final French Open, and Tsonga, his final tournament altogether. They're both coming into to Media Day tomorrow, which we will be attending in full force.
There's no trains that can get in the way of that, is there?
Again, David, don't tempt fate. I wouldn't put it past Eurostar to find a way to ruin tomorrow as well.
I've never been here before, so I don't know where I'm going. You better take me the right way.
It is not far away, David. It's okay. A delightful stroll down the road. We found ourselves an absolutely glorious little Airbnb, and we're extremely pleased to be here. So, yeah, we start off in earnest tomorrow with Media Day. And starting off Media Day in earnest will be Iga Świątek coming to face the press at midday. And I think she's on time. I bet she's bang on time. Top tennis players, world number ones, they're so rarely on time, are they? But I just feel really confident that she will be.
I hope she is.
That's
now
who
you've said
she
that.
Is, isn't
because I would think the same, and I'll be really pleased if she is. I've never been in a press conference with Iga Świątek, I don't think. So, I'm looking forward to seeing her.
What's her draw like, Matt?
Well, I would probably have said that there's no such thing as a bad draw for Świątek, really, in this tournament. I couldn't really envisage one, to be honest, because she's just been so dominant. What I would say is there are a couple of players who she could meet in the third round in Ludmila Samsonova, who obviously pushed her hard in Stuttgart, has the Samsonova trophy, the plate for getting a set off Świątek, the only one who's managed it in the last 43 sets. That's in the third round. And then a potential fourth round against either Simone Halep, who is obviously incredibly experienced on clay, who has beaten Świątek at Roland Garros before, or Yelena Ostapenko, who is obviously a former champion and also the last player to beat Świątek.
Was that Dubai?
That was Dubai. You know, obviously
when Ostapenko was on just such a tear.
Yeah, and that's the thing. She's barely won a match since. Very different conditions, Dubai versus Roland Garros. I'm still absolutely backing Świątek in these matches if they happen. But there are a couple of names there who, if you were creating the worst possible path for Świątek, you might have thrown in Samsonova, Ostapenko, Halep. So I don't think it's easy, but I also don't think it's hard because she's just that good.
You haven't mentioned any of the other sort of top seeds there. Where is Badosa, for example? Where is... I know Barbora Krejcikova is such a question mark because she hasn't played, but she is the defending champion. Where's she fallen in the draw?
So Badosa is in Świątek's half. So that's a potential semi-final. That feels like a long way for Badosa to get.
I don't understand what's happening with Badosa at the moment. I really don't. As far as I can tell, I mean, look, it's not going horribly. She's not losing first round.
But when you've picked her to win every tournament since
Australia... When you've picked her to win every tournament, it feels pretty horrible. I picked her to win every tournament because I watched her in Sydney.
She was amazing.
She was amazing. She was so good.
Well, I've picked her at least twice as well.
As I say, it's not a disaster. She's not falling apart. And that's almost... If she were having a disaster... I would think, oh, well, there's obviously something going on, whether it's, you know, physical or personal, whatever it is, there's obviously something up with her. It's sort of not bad enough for it necessarily to be attributable to anything in particular. Maybe she's just not playing as well this season. I don't know.
Yeah. We could do with trying to ask her that, you know, if she can put her finger on it, if she's got any intel to share on that. I mean,
why aren't you delivering on my predictions, Paola?
Yeah. Let's cut to the important stuff here. I mean, I do think there is a possibility that whilst, yes, she flew out of the blocks with that win, I wonder whether she caught herself just assuming that this is how things will be now. No, I'm not trying to say she was complacent, but when you've got having great results and she's got such a good game, and when you're believing in yourself... And then you probably just expect it to happen. And then she had that loss at the Australian Open, you know, heavy loss, disappointing defeat, and I think that can rock players sometimes. It can stop them in the tracks and make them wonder, okay. Well, it's not as easy as maybe I thought it was going to be. Who knows? Might have even been looking ahead to the next round or something like that. You know, or the. Who she might end up playing further down the road. And I think you can then start to worry as a player. You can start to be aware of your ranking, which has only ever gone up in the last 18 months, because when you're low down, it's easier to go up. And now she suddenly hasn't got very far to go. Now she's suddenly being written about, talked about as somebody who we think... and lots of people are writing and thinking, is going to reach the final and win one of these things. That's a lot of pressure. So who knows whether that might be a factor.
Apologies, Paola, for all the pressure.
Yeah.
I won't be picking you for this tournament.
She's nailed on, folks.
So top half, you've got Świątek. Obviously, all of your eyes instantly go to Świątek. But Doss is in there as well. Matt's mentioned Simona Halep, Jessica Pegula. Is in the top quarter. In the second quarter, Paola Badosa is the highest seed in there. You also got Arina Sabalenka, who I forgot to even look out for in the draw, which, considering she was so firmly in the mix last year after winning Madrid, is quite a tumble.
What strikes me above all else looking at this draw is how few players feel like they're in really good form. You've got...
Well, because Świątek's won everything.
You've got Barty, who's retired, and she was winning everything at the start. Now you've got Świątek dominating the circuit, and you've got a bit of Ons Jabeur.
Yeah,
who else?
I think there's a bit of a period of shock happening in women's tennis. Nobody expected this with Iga Świątek. I think she will pull others up with her, but I think there's a bit of a period of readjustment here, and the tour's in a bit of shock, it feels to me.
Yeah, I think we're so used to looking at these women's draws, at majors in particular, and thinking, yeah, she's got a chance. But names that we would ordinarily think that about, for whatever reason, we're maybe not thinking that this time, you know. Just Krejcikova, we've not seen her for so long. She is in this draw. She practiced today at Roland Garros. She's the second seed. She's the defending champion. She's got a new clothing sponsor at last. She won't be in the same kit that she's been wearing for the last year. But I'm not looking at her thinking, I'm confident she's going to make a run. You've also got Muguruza in terrible form, a losing record this year. David and I watched her disintegrate, really, against Trevisan in Rabat just a couple of days ago. The game is all over the place.
We were sitting on Catherine's sofa while you were out, and nigh on hiding behind the sofa watching this
what
result.
Guadalajara wasn't that long ago.
No. She was a setup, wasn't she? She was in charge.
A set and a break.
And then it just...
Wow.
She couldn't put balls in the court, really.
Gosh, confidence and if you think is everything.
The previous tournament, she'd had that set to with Putintseva, and she kind of came out on the wrong end of that one as well.
See also Annette Kontaveit, by the way, who's in that bottom half of the draw. Where is her form?
She'll tell you
she curse, doesn't like clay either.
Curse of having a great end of season. Mm.
I've done this before, but the player who stands out to me in the bottom of half of the draw, other than Onstuber, who you would kind of expect to be coming through that. I mean, that section, her quarter is
I've deliberately
tough.
Left that quarter to last because it's the most delicious,
I think,
David.
The one in the other quarter, in the bottom quarter of the entire women's draw, I'm looking at Coco Gauff, personally. And I've done this before, and she's not produced. But I think she played pretty well last week in Rome. She had a couple of good wins. And I just look at the players you mentioned. Krejcikova has no form because we don't know where she is. Muguruza has no form at all. Mertens has been injured. Kontaveit's not been playing
Teichmann.
Well.
I like Jill Teichmann there.
Yeah.
Azarenka, I guess, has had a good performance against Świątek despite losing 6-4, 6-1.
You breezed past Jill Teichmann, David.
Yeah, she's a good player. She, you're right, she could be one. But I'm going Coco Gauff, I think.
It's certainly a good draw for Coco Gauff, without question. There is an opportunity there. Absolutely. In fact, that is the whole quarter of the draw with the most opportunity because the big names, the seeds that have fallen in there have no form to their name whatsoever. So the third quarter of the draw, the top of the bottom, folks, this is where...
It's at.
This is where the magic is happening, folks.
It is great.
You've got Ons Jabeur at the top of it. You've got Maria Sakkari at the bottom of it. In theory, I suppose, they're favourites to meet in the quarterfinal, which would be, of course, a rematch of their... Well, Sakkari would probably call it harrowing encounter in Rome last week. When she didn't hold match points, did she? But she was a set in 5-2.
6-1, 5-2.
And just tightened up, fell apart, just utter disaster for Maria Sakkari. But standing in the way of that potential rematch, you've got the following names: Petra Kvitova, Angelique Kerber, Emma Raducanu, Belinda Bencic, Leila Fernandez, Amanda Anisimova, and Naomi Osaka.
And Bianca Andreescu.
Oh, did I miss? Oh, it's because she's not in bold,
not in
Matt.
Bold. I know, you whizzed past.
Sorry.
Only the seeds are in bold.
Karolina Muchova is also in there.
Yeah, it's really happening in this section of the draw. I love it. I feel for the players that are in that section. I mean, you've got in a list of about eight names, you've got Raducanu, Bencic, Andreescu, Fernandez. I mean, Mladenovic is in there as well, which should be a thing, but isn't really anymore. Of course, the pick of all of it is a first-round meeting between Amanda Anisimova and Naomi Osaka, in which I would call Anisimova a heavy favourite.
Yeah, me too. Far greater confidence on clay. She's already beaten Osaka on a hard court this year, so what must you take from that going into a match on clay? I felt really good about Anisimova coming into this French Open. I would have really thought she would have a strong tournament. It is a tough draw because... Okay, she's the strong favourite against Osaka, but, you know, Sakkari's in there, all these names we've mentioned just to try and get to the quarterfinals. But I think Anisimova's tennis on clay is much more developed than Naomi Osaka's at this point, and I would be backing Anisimova in that match.
Osaka's still has a mental block on surfaces other than hard court, I think.
Been injured as well.
I mean, it's just things are stacking up against her, I think, and she needs matches to find comfort. It's a disaster of a draw for her, I think.
Yeah, no, I'd agree. And I mean, the fact that she pulled out of Rome is concerning physically. So, yeah, but it is it's a cracking section of the draw. I agree. I mean, I was looking at the potential for Andreescu against Leila Fernandez.
Potential third round.
Yeah. Mind you, Andreescu might have to be benched first.
I'd love to watch that. I mean, I just want to watch all of these matches from this section of the draw. I really do. Trevisan, who you mentioned, just beat Muguruza and, of course, went on that run here a few years ago. She would be a second-round opponent for Ons Jabeur.
Magda Linette, not a brilliant opening round, I wouldn't say,
no.
for Jabeur. That's tricky.
Agreed.
And I'm just... speculating about Badossa and how she's handling the situation she's in by being a player that everybody's looking at right now. We don't know how Ons Jabeur is going to come into this tournament and feel about things when we're all thinking she's going to make a big run, which I think probably I would be, given what I've just seen. So will she handle it? I hope she does.
Same. I really, really, you know, obviously I don't think any of us are picking Jabeur to win the French Open because she's not called Iga Świątek, but I just so desperately hope she delivers on sort of a new level of expectation for her. And I'm sorry for being part of the problem of placing that expectation on her shoulders, but I mean it with the greatest of compliments. Come on, Ons. Don't do a Badossa on me.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hello, Tennis Podcast listeners. David here. Now, you might know that I love a bit of cooking. And I think I'm quite good at it. But if I'm honest, even I get fed up trying to work out what to do every night. That's where Home Chef comes in. Being able to put together a delicious meal without the long prep and the cook times, well, that's pretty cool. Home Chef provides fresh ingredients and chef-designed recipes conveniently delivered to your doorstep to simplify your cooking experience. They have over 30 options a week and serve a variety of dietary needs, so you don't have to worry about what to make ahead of time. Not only is it convenient, but it's economical too. Home Chef customers save an average of $86 per month on groceries. Now, for a limited time, Home Chef is offering Tennis Podcast listeners 18 free meals plus free dessert for life and, of course, free shipping on your very first box. Go to homechef.com/tennis. That's homechef.com/tennis for 18 free meals and free dessert for life. You heard it right.
Right then, I think that's your draw dissected. Obviously, you know, we're going to be talking it to death over the course of the next few days. We'll be coming to you tomorrow after media day. All the big names coming in. All the big names. We'll be drilling them. Grilling them, not drilling them. Oh, dear, folks. Again, blame the Eurostar.
I have to say, despite the Eurostar... You know, what happened on the Eurostar? Happened. Let's take that approach. Nice to be doing a Grand Slam preview and not watching a court hearing as we
yes.
were 4 or 5 months ago. You know, literally we landed in Australia and it was like, right, court hearing.
Yes. Yes, we did our first grocery shop on the eve of the tournament. We had to stop in the street, drop our bags because...
Djokovic was deported.
The world number one was deported. So, if traumatic Eurostar drama is as bad as it gets, then we're doing all right. And I've tempted fate again. We absolutely can't wait for this Grand Slam to get underway. David in particular, in fact I'm going to send him to bed now because he's been too pumped all day and he needs a lie down. It is wonderful to be here, it really is. Thank you to friends of the Tennis Podcast for enabling us to be here. If you'd like to become a friend, if you're not already, then the link is in our show notes. Please do that if you fancy it. Sign up to the newsletter if you haven't already. They will be daily throughout Roland Garros. And for the duration, we have a very special mascot brought to you by long-time listeners and many-time emailers, Drew and David. Hello, Drew and David. We love you. Thank you for bringing Cooper into our lives. David and Drew adopted Cooper from the Madison, Wisconsin Humane Society in 2013 and moved to Chicago in 2015. Cooper enjoys sunny naps and begging for wet food. His brother from another mother, Francis, was last year's US Open mascot. They're best friends and love to snuggle. Cooper is a jet black, very delicate looking cat, actually. Very feline. What a stupid thing to say, Catherine. Oh, dear. No, Cooper really is lovely. I had a black cat as a kid. So I had one ginger cat, one big fluffy ginger cat, and one black cat. And they hated one another. But I loved them both very much. And Cooper is lovely. There's Cooper, David.
Oh, gorgeous.
Gorgeous. Cooper will feature in our newsletter, on our social media channels. Speaking of social media channels, folks, if you'd like a more vivid idea of how the day panned out today, then head to our Instagram, because it is chronicled in graphic and harrowing detail. And it's a story, so it won't be there forever. So at Tennis Podcast on Instagram.
David's been watching it on a loop.
It's one of my favourites.
David's going to do Tennis Relived, the day we went to Paris.
Instagram relived.
And I'm going to quit the podcast. Right, brilliant. On that note, folks, it's great to have your company for this French Open. We can't wait. We, of course, have our usual mascots. I've got Carter. Don't worry, Carter, we're not picking Paola Badosa. David's got Darwin. Matt has got Gerald the cat. May he rest in peace. We have our executive producers, Chris Albert Lee and Kyle Weingartner. Are we doing shout outs, Matt, or should we save shout outs for tomorrow?
We can do some.
Oh. Hey, let's have some Roland Garros shout outs.
Two pumps, David. Two pumps.
We have Joel Berger in New Mexico.
All right,
oh,
Joel.
My brother spent a year in New Mexico.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, in Albuquerque. In 2005,
in fact, I can be more specific. That is where Joel is from.
Oh,
brilliant!
Right, yeah, he lived in Albuquerque for a year. I think it was
an eventful year.
It was a wild time. Mm. Yeah. Hello, Joel. Thank you very much for your support.
Yeah.
Trying to imagine Math, your brother, having a wild time in New Mexico is like trying to imagine the Lost Law years.
Is it? Wow.
Yeah, it doesn't compute with what I know now.
Oh, stand by. Once we've finished recording, I'll show you the photo he used for his Jerry Springer application circa 2005.
His what?
Next shout out.
His what application?
His Jerry Springer application.
No chance, really?
Yeah.
What was he doing on it?
He didn't go on Jerry Springer. it was all a joke.
Oh, okay.
But I think he did. Apply. Well, he told me he applied. Anyway,
right. Yep.
My brother didn't go on Jerry Springer, folks. He's an entirely normal, conventional. What can I say that won't make him hate me?
Salt of the earth, chap.
Salt of the earth, great brother. Hi, Math. Thanks for listening. Hi, Joel. Thanks for your support.
We have Steve Duffy from Walton on Thames.
We know Steve, don't we? That must be Stephen Duffy. Gets in touch with us
on Twitter. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, it's possible there's two. But anyway, we love you both.
We sure do.
And
cheers, Stephen.
Steve loves Medvedev and Muguruza.
Oh.
Could be a tricky round on Garros, I think.
Imagine if they won the double.
That shouldn't be as far-fetched as it is.
I mean, it sounds preposterous.
Yeah, just truly preposterous.
Imagine the points I'd get.
Yeah.
If I went with them two.
Yep. Thank you, Steve. And hello.
And finally, we have Jonas, who is in Iraq, although Jonas is Swedish.
Oh, wow. Hello, right, Jonas. like, I mean, all the onuses.
Mr. Bjorkman.
Bjorkman. I thought there were more when I said all the onuses. I now can't think of any more.
You've overpromised.
Jonas.
Olsen, like the West Bromwich Albion centre-half of a few years ago. To be honest, we only need the two.
Yeah.
This Jonas and Jonas Bjorkman.
Yeah.
That'll do.
Thank you very much, Jonas. It is great to have your support. I'm sure you'll agree, it's probably best that we wrap up this podcast
We've
now.
We've got a bit delirious. It's been a long day.
Yeah, let's get this show off the road. Thanks for listening, folks. We'll be back tomorrow. We can't wait.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, folks, it's Marc Maron from WTF. I've been talking to all kinds of famous people in my garage since 2009, including a sitting president.
You know, I don't imagine you were flying in here on the chopper thinking like, you know, I am nervous about Marc.
No, I wasn't.
Okay, well, that's good.
That would be a problem.
It would be a problem.
If the president was feeling stressed about
coming to my garage.
Coming to your garage.
And now there's even more WTF when you subscribe to the full Marin to get weekly bonus content and all WTF episodes ad-free. Listen to WTF wherever you get podcasts and subscribe to the full Marin at go.acast.com/WTF.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.